Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Younger Zoshom Re'emuna in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our seventh installment of Thoughts on Purim. One of the most difficult to understand Gemaras regarding the Purim story is the statement in the Gemara that the major sin of the Jews in the Purim story that made it that God was ready to allow the annihilation of the Jewish people, if not for their repentance, was the fact that they benefited from the feast of Ahasuerus. We, of course, know the beginning of the Megillah talks at length about the lavish feast which Ahasuerus hosted. This is a very, very difficult Gemara to understand. So many commentators grapple with this. The implication of things is not necessarily that it was not kosher. It could very, or at least what they ate wasn't kosher. It could very well be that they didn't eat anything that was unacceptable. It is possible that they ate and drank unacceptable things, but it's very possible that they didn't. So what's the tremendous focus? And by the way, even if they did, obviously that would be wrong, but presumably the rationale was maybe that they were forced by Ahasuerus. If they would have rejected him, maybe they would have been in danger. It's just difficult to understand why this was the big sin. Whether or not it was completely correct, this is the big sin. There's a Gemara that says that the first generation that really overcame the great desire to do idols, to worship idols, was this generation. So this generation had good things going for it. And now because of this thing with the feast, they should be annihilated? Many approaches, but Shimshon Pinchas has a very interesting approach. He explains that the Gemara doesn't say that they were going to be punished because they ate from the feast of Ahasuerus. He says the Gemara says they were going to be punished because they benefited from it. An interesting outlook. Sometimes in life, we do things that are not, many times in life, we do things that are not necessarily of much of a spiritual ilk, and not necessarily a sin, but kind of gray area, or maybe not so gray, but not terrible. These were people that they had so much pleasure, and maybe the better word is excitement, in this lavish meal from Ahasuerus. And what that means, you can't be excited and invigorated about a great dinner and also excited and invigorated about doing the will of God. We can have a great dinner and do the will of God. We can be excited about having a great dinner and do the will of God. But what really makes them tick? That's the question. Is it an inspiring davening, or is it a great cut of steak? It's hard for it to be both. And that's a very powerful thing to think about. And Rav Pinchas suggests that was the problem. It's so interesting how God created a chain of events, as we've discussed earlier in the series, that made it be that in the aftermath of the Purim story, and not necessarily the aftermath, in the end segments of the Purim story, they have such passion for serving God appropriately. Rav Pinchas, in his beautiful manner, explains that when we say that they reaccepted the Torah, it was as if they had a tchias hamesim. They had a revival of the dead, of their passion for the service of God. We're not necessarily saying they weren't doing the mitzvos. We're not necessarily saying they were committing so many sins. But their passion was gone. Their passion for doing the right thing was gone. And that's why they needed a Purim story. It's a powerful thing to think about in our day and age, where there are so many mitzvos that are so much easier for us to fulfill than so many of the people who came before us and their situations. And so we say to ourselves, wow, we're doing this mitzvah, we're doing that mitzvah, we're learning so much Torah. But the question is a fair one. Does our passion lie in this service of God? Or are we passionate about other things? It's a very worthwhile thing to reflect on. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.